do be seated. Oh, good morning. It is great to see you. And going back to the very beginning of our service, we heard Jim say two of the commandments. Now, can any remember what those two commandments were? They're like the greatest commandments. I'm hoping that someone will remember and be able to tell me. Yes, that's one of them. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do you remember the other one? That's it. Fantastic. Love your neighbor. That is one of the golden rules of the Christian faith. And it sounds great, doesn't it? Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. It's easy to say. But the reality is that this sort of love comes at a cost. And today's passage is all about counting the cost. And I don't mean in terms of finance. I mean the personal cost of our journey of faith. What it really means for us to follow Jesus Christ. The sacrifice that will be required as we follow in his footsteps to carry, as Jesus says, our own cross. Now, where I used to live in Horsham, that was a prime route for people who love to jog, or these days I think we call it running. And I think that's because people just like to think, well, we need to get there faster. That's our society today, so we can't jog, we run. And there was a phenomenon that used to happen in January every year. Suddenly the amount of people jogging past my house would double or even triple. All those with New Year's resolutions would be out in their new shiny running gear. You could spot them a mile off. They're fluorescent and shining. And then gradually through the year, the numbers would drop and drop until only the really committed runners remained. And I think perhaps we can look at our own Christian journeys a bit like this. Lots of people start the journey when they're just out of the starting blocks, they're full of energy, enthusiasm. But not everyone is able to go the distance. They fall by the wayside for a whole host of reasons. As Paul writes in Hebrews, we need to be in it for the long haul, to run the race marked out for us, and to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Before we go any further, before we really dig into this, let's pray. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the potter and we are the clay. Lord, help us to be people willing to be shaped by you. And where there are rough edges, Lord, we pray you would smooth them. Where we need to be reshaped, Lord, reshape us. Lord, help all I prepared to speak of you and what is of you to flow into this place, and what is of me, Lord, you would take it and let it fall to the ground. In Jesus' name, amen. So a friend of mine, very good friend of mine, once applied to run the London Marathon. Any of you who've ever done any sort of marathon training, if that's something you've done, you need to start running, if you're going to run a marathon, you need to start running about a year before, a minimum of a year before. And you have to gradually build up to running 20 or 30 miles a week. That's quite a lot, isn't it? I'm not sure I could even run 1 mile in a week. And you would need to run 3 or 5 times a week to get up to that sort of mileage. That means running in all weather conditions. It means giving up evenings and weekends, seeing friends and family. It means placing running as a priority above pretty much everything else, in order on the day to be able to run that 26 miles. And in our passage today, Jesus is challenging those crowded around him, and in turn, us. He's asking you and I if we have what it takes to follow him, to really follow, in the great times, but also in the very darkest of times. And Jesus uses some extraordinary language. Now imagine, if you will, a politician standing on a soapbox. This shouldn't be too difficult, bearing in mind what's going on in our political climate at the moment. Standing on a soapbox, addressing a crowd. If you're going to vote for me, you're voting to lose your homes and families. You're asking for higher taxes, for lower wages. You're deciding in favour of losing all you love best. So come on, who's going to vote for me? Who's on my side? I don't think the crowd would probably even bother heckling. They would just be puzzled. Why on earth would anyone publicise themselves in such a way? And it seems that this is exactly what Jesus is doing in this passage. Want me by a disciple, do you? Well, be prepared to learn to hate your family, give up your possessions, and get ready for a nasty death. Doesn't really sound that attractive, if I'm honest. Hardly the way to win friends or influence people. But hang on. What if instead of thinking about a politician, we think of the leader of a great expedition forging a way through a high and dangerous mountain pass to bring urgent medical aid to villagers cut off from the rest of the world? If you want to come any further, the leader says, you'll have to leave your packs behind. From here on in, the path is too steep to carry all of that stuff, and he probably won't ever find it again. And you'd better send your last postcards home, because this is a dangerous route, and it's very likely that not all of us will make it to the end. Now, we can understand that. We may not like the sound of it, but we can see why that would make sense. And I think we can see that Jesus is more like the second person than the first. Having been told to love our neighbours, being told to hate those closest to us, our husbands, wives, children and parents, it comes as a bit of a shock. But it's important to say here that Jesus is not denying the importance of close family. Perhaps we can interpret his words as more like loving less. Like the marathon runner has to prioritise, Jesus is calling us to place the kingdom of God first. Everything else is to come lower down on the list. And none of us know when the time will come when we will be asked to make a sacrifice, which is why we need to be prepared. We need to be rehearsed. We need to be trained. We need to be ready to follow where God calls us. Jesus does not want disciples who do not realize what they have let themselves in for. Counting the cost is important. And to make his point, Jesus uses two parables. A man who decides to build a tower must first think. To get no further than the foundation is to invite ridicule. Imagine a housing estate where none of the houses get beyond the foundations because the builder hadn't ordered enough materials and had run out of money. Now, they wouldn't have a great reputation, would they? Would you go and buy a house in that estate? Probably not. It's important, therefore, for the builder to first sit down, and sit down because this isn't something to be decided in a hurry. To sit down and count the cost. Only then can the builder expect success. In the same way, a king who has an army of 10,000 troops needs to think carefully before pitting his army against another king who attacks with 20,000 troops. If he cannot see his way through a problem, he does not sit and wait for those 20,000 troops to come to his doorstep. He arranges peace while his enemy is still a great distance away. Now, these two parables might sound similar, but they do make subtly different points. The builder of the tower is free to build or not as he chooses, But the king is being invaded. He has to do something. In the first parable, Jesus says, "Sit down and reckon whether you can afford to follow me." In the second, he says, "Sit down and reckon whether you can afford to refuse my call." And I think it's important that we look at our commitment to him in both of these ways. And what Jesus is saying here, I think, is that he does not want followers who rush into discipleship without thinking about what is involved. And he is clear about the price. Anyone who comes to him must be prepared to give all that they have. We cannot be half-hearted about this. Jesus isn't looking for lukewarm Christians. He wants us to be followers who are prepared to give up all that we have to follow him, to be full-blooded disciples. Disciples that have counted the cost and are ready to run that race marked out for us. We need our eyes set on the prize that is Jesus. And I think the challenge for us this morning is, have we sat down and calculated the true cost of following Jesus? Are we prepared to count all that we have as lost in order to be fully committed? What can you do to commit fully to what God is calling you to do? Jesus is clear. Walking the path he has laid out before us is not easy. It will require sacrifice at some point in our lives, perhaps at many points, and I've no doubt that many of you will have already experienced costly choices. But we choose this path because we know where it leads. We know the prize that awaits us at the end. And so, drawing to a close this morning, we return to our marathon runner. And if we, like a marathon runner, are to last the race, we need to think of three things. Firstly, we need to prepare well. Being prepared involves sacrifice, like that jogger having to be out in all weathers at all times of day, sacrificing the other pleasures of life. Being prepared involves sacrifice. It needs to be a priority, and it requires practice to get good at it. And so, as Christians, we have our very own spiritual exercise that we call prayer. And that's how we can prepare well to run the race, to pray, to lift up our concerns to God in prayer every day, to do our spiritual workout. And then we need sustenance. Every runner needs to take on sustenance along the way. And we do that together as we gather as a church community, as we worship together, as we break open God's word and we feast on God's word. And we get new energy from the gift of the Holy Spirit within us that draws us on in that journey. And finally, we need eyes on the prize, because we can easily be distracted along the way. And this race won't win us earthly glory. We don't get a shiny medal to hang round our necks. But we get the most precious prize of all, the gift of eternal life. So we need to prepare. We need to be sustained. And we need to have eyes on the finish line. And finally, remember, we don't need to be so afraid of the cost. If you're sat here this morning thinking, what have I let myself in for? Mike, you're making this sound ridiculous. I'm going home. I can't do this. Jesus says anyone who has left houses, brothers, sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or friends, for the sake of my name, will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. Amen. Let us pray. Father, help us to run the race that you have marked out for us. Help us to prepare well. Help us to be sustained along the route, to find nourishment in you and in our gathering with other people. And Lord, help us to focus on you, to have our eyes on you, and know that at the end of this life, that we have the ultimate prize in you. In Jesus' name, amen.